irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you are. The day before Independence Day.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That's kind of cool, isn't it?
It is July 3rd. It's almost a Lanford Wilson play.
That's right. Almost.
Anyone? Anyone? Is this thing on?
Oh, thank you. All right. That'll be on Saturday, right?
Yes, of course. And I appreciate that rather obscure reference. And still got a genuine chortle, I thought.
Well, exactly. Got a genuine chortle. Show business people.
I had
here.
Genuine chortle in college, but a little penicillin cleared it right up.
Oh, I see.
Lady.
Well,
anyway.
Really? Holy cow, we're off to that kind of a start, are we? All right.
Thank our sponsors, would you, Michael?
Absolutely. If I can just find that page. Here we go. We would like to
You don't
to
know
thank,
it by heart yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
Indeed we are. And after graduating with a BA in drama from Binghamton University in New York, our first guest studied under Juilliard professor Jean Lesser and moved to Los Angeles to pursue a career doing what he loves most, acting in film and television, before landing the dynamic role of Joshua Cantos on the Starz show Power, which ironically brought him back to his place of origin in New York. He guest starred on such shows as NBC's Ironside, CSI New York, NCIS, NCIS LA, to name a few. Please welcome Adam Huss to the show.
Hello.
How are you?
Adam. Glad to be here.
Nice to see you.
Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate having you on. And later, and the second time, you were on once before.
Yes.
A couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Justin Love, cast by.
Yes, by our next guest. Good segue. Right? Thank you. Read the cards. And later in the hour, we begin a new feature on State of the Arts as a public service for the many actors and artists who enjoy our show. This week, we present our inaugural broadcast of State of the Biz. You like that? State of the Biz, presented by Actors Access.
A discussion. That's about where it's going, dude.
Yeah. A discussion with acclaimed industry professionals who share their insights to assist the working actor. And speaking of acclaimed, you can't get more so than this gentleman, a six-time winner of the CSA's Artios Award, given for outstanding achievement in casting. Please welcome the hardest working man in the casting business, Michael Donovan.
Thank you. Very nice to be here.
Yeah. Nice
I like
to have
the
you.
Scream nice when you introduce the industry.
You like that? I recorded that myself, actually. It was
right after a not-so-good audition.
It was after my one, at the end of the show, if we have the time, I will share my worst audition.
Oh, please do.
My worst audition.
Yeah.
I'll tease it now by just saying it was for an insecticide industrial, and I was a worm coming up out of an apple.
Wow.
Yeah. They said I was a fool to dream, Michael. But before we get to these two gentlemen here that we have, and how was your week, Michael? How did it go?
Super good, actually, and very
dazzling
good.
Shirt. I have to say, it's very, very nice.
Oh, thank you.
It's a great
thank
color.
Great. Thanks.
Really,
thanks very much.
Only we. I know it doesn't matter much on the radio, but
it doesn't.
But it still looks very nice.
It's nice to be told. Thank you.
Let's take a picture of it. We'll put it on our Facebook page so people can know what we're talking.
There we go. Good week. Had a great, great show with a Broadway performer by the name of Bernard Dotson, who headlined the club this weekend and did two sold-out shows, Sunday and Monday. Just killer with a five-piece band behind him. Amazing charts. And he was so exciting. He's just one of those very, very seasoned triple threat guys that knows exactly how to do it. And he had just done it in New York, and he came out here. did it in San Diego to warm up for Los Angeles, and then did two sold-out shows here. So
yeah, and that's not usual for you. Usually don't have performers do two shows back-to-back.
No, not unless they have that kind of popularity factor, which he clearly does. He's also from Los Angeles, hadn't been home in 18 years.
Wow.
So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a big homecoming for him. And then also interviewed the stars of Ghost, the musical for Broadway World TV, at their opening of the show at the Pantages, and you were
which I attended, yes, with my lovely niece, Julia, for her 13th birthday present.
And we will talk about that a little bit later in the arts calendar, will we?
We will.
We will.
We will talk about that.
Trepidatiously, we say. Okay. And yours, Paul, how was your week?
Mine was fine. I don't have the dazzling life that you do, Michael. Oh, I don't live on the edge like you. I just... wonderful that we got accepted for another film festival for the short film I did, The Beating. We got into... the next stage of the Collegetown Film Festival. This is a nomadic film festival that goes to different campuses. We went with them to Penn State with The Beating. And we, of course, went to Columbia College in Chicago because they added our script to the curriculum there for their class.
That's so cool.
And now it's Ohio University in October. So we get to be in Ohio and see the autumnal foliage. And,
would you say that again for me?
The autumnal foliage. Once again, like little penicillin
term
and a talc, and it all goes away.
Yeah, exactly.
but it was great. It was great. Really, really enjoyable. So looking forward to the holiday weekend.
Yeah, and, very nice. How are you actually going to spend the actual day tomorrow?
We're going to celebrate. No, I'm
kidding.
We're going, actually, the director of The Beating is going out of town, and he gave us his beautiful, vast condo, much vaster than ours, and in a cooler area of town. So we're going to watch his place and his lovely little dog, Jasmine, and spend the weekend in a little staycation for Monica and I.
A little staycation.
A little staycation.
Now, is that a term you made up?
Or, no. Or? Well, yes, I did, and it's copyrighted. So you'd like to use it,
or am
it,
I just so 15 minutes ago?
No. Actually, it's a staycation. I don't know. Is it current? Is it outdated? I don't know. Anyway.
Very nice.
Let's get to these two gentlemen we have with us here.
Absolutely.
Our first guest can be seen in the independent films Is It Just Me?, Resurrection County, and Wannabe. He recently associate produced and was the star of the feature film Find Me, which debuted at the Hollywood Film Festival and is now available on Amazon. He completed filming on the musical comedy Waiting in the Wings and the action thriller Miserlou. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Miserlou. That's a song, isn't it?
It is.
It's like a surf song,
yeah.
If I remember correctly. It's the one that... that Quentin Tarantino used in Pulp Fiction, yes?
Exactly.
You see, I know the jargon.
You do.
Both those films are hitting film festival circuits now. As we mentioned, he's currently a series regular on the hit star show Power, which has just been picked up for a second season.
How about that?
Please welcome Adam Huss.
Hey.
Thank you.
How are you?
Good. I'm great.
Yeah?
Glad to be here. Yeah.
You look refreshed.
Oh, thanks.
Is that what being a celebrity does for one?
I suppose.
You were here as an actor trying to make it in Los Angeles, and now you did, and you're in New York shooting a television series.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's so funny. A lot of people have been saying, you've made it, and it feels like it's still so much work. And I'm so grateful to be there, but it's still so much work. You know,
sure
there's still
it is.
So far to go. But I am grateful for what's happening in this moment right now.
And, you know, to get the show and to be on a television show is one thing, but it's especially poignant for you or nice for you because you're going back home to do it. So you get to be the conquering hero.
Yeah, it's a double bonus. You know, I get to see all the people that I've missed, my nieces, my grandmas, my uncles, aunts, that I've missed all their birthdays and anniversaries. So I get to be a part of that again. It's really
See, you're nice. A far more giving person than I am, Adam. Because, you know, my whole thing would be pizza and bagels.
Yeah.
I get the pizza and bagels. People, nieces and nephews, family,
exactly.
All that shit.
Most people want to run from the family. I'm like, no, I want you guys. I can't wait. Yeah. But then, you know.
Well, you're Italian, right?
Yes. I am Italian.
Okay.
So,
as am I.
What was the giveaway there?
Well, that he likes his family.
Oh.
Well.
I thought that was
not
Catholic.
All.
I don't know.
There's a great.
I am Catholic and Italian.
Oh,
and
my
from
gosh,
Long Island.
Yeah. There's a great line from Pope of Greenwich Village, where Barney the Clockmaker is because what's his name? Eric Roberts is just out of his mind, and he says to Mickey Rourke, he says, "You and this Paulie kid, you related or what?" You know. And Mickey Rourke goes, second, third cousins, my mother's side. And Barney the Clockmaker goes, yeah, with the Wops, that's like twin brothers in an Irish family. So he's just loved that.
I love that movie. When I first moved here, Peter Berg, the director. Mm-hmm. I was waiting on him at Sushi Roku, and he said, "You ever see The Pomegranate Village?" And I hadn't at the time, and he goes, "Rent that movie. It's for you. Yeah. It's your part." Yeah. I was very, very New York at that time when I moved here.
And you know, it was supposed to be De Niro and James Caan.
Mm. Wow, yeah,
was the two, which would have been a completely. The fact that they're younger, you know, really made it for me. Have you ever seen it?
No, I have not.
Michael, have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
Oh, it's a great movie.
Vincent was a handsome man.
Vincent Patrick. Oh yeah, yeah. But he wrote dialogue, writes dialogue like no one to know. The lines in that Vincent Patrick script is phenomenal. But speaking of scripts, the script for your show, not necessarily the script. I'm forced to segue there that didn't work, but I'm owning it.
I think I know where you're going.
Can you give sort of the synopsis of Power and what for our listeners who may not have watched it as yet?
Yeah, Power is a show about the drug kingpin of New York, the number one drug kingpin. Don't we all strive to be that? Of New York, who opens up a nightclub to launder money and hires my character to manage it because I have a history of hit clubs in the past. I also have a shady history and haven't worked in the last couple of years as a nightclub owner. So he hires me, and the club takes off, and then he gets a taste of the straight life, this drug dealer. And so the show is basically his struggle to want to let go of this drug life and go legit. And the people in his life that want him to stay where he is, his wife, his best friend slash business partner in the drug, and or go forward and go legit. And the twist is he runs into an old flame that thinks he's now off the streets and really made it. And so there's a lot of temptation there.
Okay. But his wife, the wife character, is actually not happy about him going on the straight and narrow. She'd prefer.
No, that came out in episode like two or three. Her name is Notori Naughton, who plays his wife. Omari Hardwick is the drug kingpin. And she is like Bonnie to his Clyde, and you find out she likes it there. She likes the excitement. She likes where he's come from, and she believes really it's about if he changes and moves forward. She's afraid she'll get left in the dust.
Oh, okay.
That's really what it's about.
Okay.
Always a reason with those women, right?
Yeah. I haven't seen the show. Michael, have you seen?
You know, I've seen clips.
Okay,
yeah, because it's on Stars,
kidding,
and you have
no, to, kidding.
You have to subscribe to it, right?
Yes, you do.
But it's in with a lot of the packages. It's like inclusive.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're
starting to make deals, and you can watch I believe you can watch the first episode online for free on YouTube and Stars.com.
Oh, okay.
If it's still there, yeah.
The quality YouTube of that programming, the individual, like, especially now that we're seeing with things like Netflix and those Orange is the New Black and these shows.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
Right?
It's not only...
Well, programming everywhere, all over television is unbelievable.
But the quality is so much more film-like,
yes,
because the audiences are more niche and they're able to really zoom in on their market. And mm-hmm. because of, you know, it's the way that, I mean, HBO is the one that really sort of broke it all open with the made-for-HBO things. But like I said, I haven't seen it, but style.
Well, I think Showtime certainly did their contributed there too.
Yeah.
But you know, everything is so...
But Showtime was TNA, though. Their first shows were sort of like
TNA. Yeah.
There were actresses that, if not for Showtime, they would have been doing porn. I'm convinced.
Cinemax. I think that's Cinemax.
Oh, that was that's right. I'm sorry. Skinemax. I'm sorry. It wasn't Showtime. It was Cinemax. Yes.
Well, yeah.
It can't be the first time you're hearing Skinemax, no. Is it?
Yes, it was.
Oh, wow.
Where do you think I live? Adam, what was your journey to getting that series? I mean, you've certainly been working out here in Los Angeles at that point in time, and you worked really a lot. And,
yes.
Including theater, which we'll talk about a little later.
Yeah. You know, gosh, when I moved here, I believe I...
And when was that?
I moved here in 2000, and I just had come out of college and the program we talked about with the Juilliard professor who was teaching at Binghamton, Gene Lesser, who really taught me so much and kind of opened my eyes to what it means to take this profession seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved here, and then it was like, okay, now I need to try to be famous, you know. And I quickly learned that wasn't what it should be about, and that wasn't for me. I mean, I would try to network and schmooze and go to these, you know, these places on Sunset Boulevard. And I was like, what am I doing? This is the very thing about this business that makes me feel, it's unrewarding, you know. So I threw myself into theater. And the first play I did out here was at the Celebration Theater. Mm-hmm. It was called Naked Will, mm-hmm. The Portrait of Mr. W.H. It was based on an Oscar Wilde short story about W.H. being Shakespeare's muse, being a male.
Okay.
And it was just a great play. It was really a great piece. I got some attention from that. I loved the work, and I just kept working from there. Got an agent, started doing small guest stars, co-stars, then into independent films, film schools, whatever. I just kept working. I just took it, whatever I could get, you know,
right.
In between having side jobs. But I made it work somehow.
Right. Destitute well, you also for have a while. Very specific look and a very unique look, and you're also a very good actor.
Thank you.
So I think you have to have all those elements to be able to catch the attention, you know, of the people that are in the producers and the casting people that are, you know, behind those projects.
So yeah, and I think you have to.
Eventually, I think it would have happened. It just happened.
And you have to, like, yes, I think eventually. Yeah. But I also learned so much the difference between doing theater, between doing TV, between doing,
right, sure.
Whether it's whatever it is, that it all plays differently. Broad comedy on stage is different from doing it on a TV show. And I learned, and I had to become more confident in that craft. And as I got to know myself too, I think I really moved into my own as an actor. And then, in the last 2 years, before I got Power, I started doing some theater up in Theatricum Botanicum. And then I got offered to audition for Just in Love as a replacement, this musical that Michael Donovan cast.
Yep.
And once I got the part, and when I did that musical, something about that musical just really changed people's opinion of me as an actor. A lot of people in the business who knew me came to see it. They saw it in the LA Times write-up, and I think people are like, wow, he could sing and he can act. I mean, you're constantly having to prove yourself, which is keeps you on your toes, you know. And from that point on, something changed in me. I auditioned differently. Power came up, and it was just like, I knew it in my heart. Like, this is mine. I feel I auditioned for one part that was a little different than mm-hmm. me. And then I didn't get a call back for about a week and a half. And I thought, okay, that's weird. I thought that was going to happen, that one. I really felt that one. But you feel that all the time. But still, I really felt that one. And then I got a call back for a different role about a week and a half later. And the character was from Long Island. And all these attributes of him were, like, very close to me. So I'm thinking, okay, this is it. Went in, read for it, and I just knew, like, this is it. Didn't hear again for weeks, and then I tested, didn't hear again for weeks, and then I finally got it.
Wow.
So.
The frustration in between those weeks, though, right?
Oh, my God. I had to really get to a place of literally gratitude for everything I had in my life at that moment, mm-hmm. and I thought, if this does not happen, I'm really content. I have everything I want in my life. I really do. Mm-hmm. I have to believe that. You know, I have an apartment. I'm in love. I got a puppy. Everything's good. You know, I could pay my bills. And once I got to that point, then I got it. And then I was like, thank God.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, wow. You know, I know what you say, because I mean, I for one didn't get in this business to make a lot of money, and so far that's working out really well. So I know exactly what you're feeling. But how nice for you though to kick it off with Celebration, because it's such. We had Michael Shepard on last week.
Love him.
Yeah. And,
he was the this, yeah, he was in the theater.
This show that they're doing now, the Max Factor, which is opening.
It's getting
soon.
Ready to.
And of course, Jamie Rudofsky, who also does casting out of for Celebration, and a great group of people over there. And that had to be a nice. Was that the first thing you got in coming here?
That was, yeah. And they were all fantastic to me. Michael Shepard's partner, help me out with his name. God,
I'm so sorry.
But anyway, his partner was Oscar Wilde in our play.
Oh,
so
okay.
I really got to know them well, and they had after parties at their house, and they were just such a little community there. You felt a part of something in a town where sometimes you could be just floating adrift, you know? And I love them all. And Derek Charles Livingston directed it, and he was mm-hmm. great. It was just a fantastic experience. All the actors in it were amazing. I still talk to some of them today. Yeah, so I love that theater.
Adam, you mentioned the difference in styles, which is another thing I want to touch on when we start chatting with Michael about the difference between film and television and theater acting. But is there a preference for you in terms of what you enjoy doing? I mean, you can't beat the immediacy of theater, obviously, because the people are right there.
Yeah.
But which do you find that you enjoy the most?
It's such a funny question. It's like people always say to me, do you like L.A. or New York better? And I always used to say, I think I like New York better. And then I moved to New York for that winter, this last winter. I'm like, okay, I think I like L.A. better. Yeah. But it's like, you know what I mean? It's like whatever you're doing, you're loving it. But then it's always like you want to move on and do the next thing. Like just you want to keep it exciting. I love theater. I love television and I love doing movies. But it's like I don't know. I love it all. So. You do one thing, then you want to do the next thing. You do one thing, you know, we're never satisfied.
And the variety of it. But in theater, as we often say on this program, it's that one moment in time, and it will never be the same again. Yeah. Ever be the same
for
again.
For those people in that room, they experience something that, you know, no one else will have.
It's true. Exactly. And you know, I think because the reason I love theater and I love the Justin Love experience was you're in front, you know, especially the Celebration Theater is such a small 99 seat. Everyone's in your face, and you're trying to have these intimate moments, and they're all in your face. You know, so it's like if you can do that, I can walk onto set on power with, you know, just my other actor, Omari Hardwick, or whoever's in the scene, and I can do this. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
because I did it for 90 shows or whatever.
So. That's interesting because when I've shot film or television. You know, everyone always talks about the distraction factor. You know, it's distracting. You have a cable running under your feet. You're going to have this. It's going to be so distracting. You know, the people are right. I said, for anyone who's done live theater for more than 5 minutes, but the focus is still on you. Yeah. You know, I mean, you're still what they're doing that day. And I was talking about it before, this one-man show that I did for 9 years. You know, when you have a bachelorette party 2 feet away from you, and have that's focus, man.
Yeah,
that's, you know, that's what, you know, so, yeah, that's where you, it's great for cutting your teeth.
You know, his co-star in Justin Love, Carrie St. Louis,
who is
from LA's Next Great Stage Star, which we also talk about on this program every once in a while. Did you see her on Broadway in Rock of Ages?
Well, she was when I left. She was just going there. I think we overlapped.
Yeah,
but when I go back, we've emailed about
good.
Yeah,
she's a totally different girl now. I mean, she's a woman.
Really?
She's
a
woman.
Really?
She's a young, sophisticated woman.
Yep.
I think Las Vegas really.
She was terrific in
Vegas.
Yes,
she was. Yeah.
Terrific,
She did Rock of Ages in Vegas?
She starred in Rock of Ages.
And now they're moving her to Broadway.
What is the gentleman's name who I met a couple of times? He did Rock of Ages. Beautiful guy. Did a lot of soap opera work.
That's her boyfriend.
What's that?
Robert Tordy? I mean, who you.
No, but he did Rock of Ages in Vegas for a long time.
It's Carrie's boyfriend.
His wife. His wife is Ari.
Yeah. Oh, maybe not. Sorry.
No, person. I'll have to look it up. I don't have the name at the ready. Anyway, let's do our arts calendar, Michael, and get back to this.
I thought you were talking about somebody else.
Sorry. It's okay. We'll fix that.
Her boyfriend
post.
The boyfriend was in.
Kyle Lauder.
Right.
Kyle Lauder.
No.
What? I thought that he was on that.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Who knows?
Rock of Ages, Vegas? Maybe it's me.
Maybe.
I'll look it up while you do the arts calendar. Okay. I'll look it up.
May I?
Yeah.
This summer, ladies and gentlemen, discover the Will Geer Theatricum Botanicum.
Speaking of which.
Botanicum's Garden of Theater, a spectacular outdoor amphitheater nestled in the heart of Topanga Canyon. Theatricum continues its celebration of Shakespeare's 450th birthday with the Bard's screwball comedy Much Ado About Nothing. In one of the most exuberant and spirited battles of the sexes ever written, Beatrice and Benedick find each other as detestable as worms. Their verbal jousts are witty but cruel, and every action is calculated to wound. Yet beneath their animosity lies a mutual attraction that neither dares confess until circumstances unite them to rescue young friends and forces them to unmask their own true love. Named one of the 50 coolest places in Los Angeles by Buzz Magazine, one of Southern California's most beguiling theater experiences by Sunset Magazine, and Best Theater in the Woods by the LA Weekly, Will Geer's Theatricum
presents Much Ado About Nothing through September 28th at 1419 North Topanga Canyon Boulevard in Topanga. Call 310-455-3723 for tickets or visit theatricum.com. As well.
The best theater in the woods by LA Weekly. Is there that much theater going on in the woods out here that they have their own category? Well, is that it? We don't have woods.
Well, there we do.
There, okay. All right.
I did some theater there. It's great.
No, you mentioned that.
Yes, you did.
A Pulitzer Prize and Tony Award winning team tackle fame, art, and love when secrets are spilled in the hit new comedy, The Country House. Performing arts live raves, this is just about as good as theater gets. The all-star cast is terrific, and this Broadway-bound production is one of our featured events. Inspired by Anton Chekhov's pastoral comedies, Pulitzer Prize winner Donald Margulies brings the funny and poignant world premiere helmed by Tony Award winner Daniel Sullivan to the Geffen Playhouse. Gathering in their Berkshire home during the Williamstown summer theater season, a family of actors wrestles with fame, art, and as always, each other. But when the events of the weekend go off script, secrets are spilled and bonds are broken, threatening an already fragile foundation of a home brimming with old memories, new love, and discarded dreams. The Country House features Blythe Danner, Scott Foley, Eric Lang, David Rash, Sarah Steele, and Emily Swallow, and plays through next weekend only at the Geffen Playhouse in Westwood. Visit geffenplayhouse.com for tickets. And also, I want to point out the gentleman who's getting great notices for this, and a very, very nice man who had the pleasure of knowing, Eric Lang, does a great, great job in this.
Fantastic.
So I'm sure they, I haven't seen the production, I'm sure they all do, but Eric is
and what about notices. Emily Schwallow?
What? Schwallow, you like that?
I'm so
drunk, Michael. I've been drinking since noon. Sorry about that.
What else is new? Okay.
Lady! All right. It's all yours. Gentlemen.
We, Paul, have to talk about a little show called Ghost the Musical at the Pantages Theater.
Oh, we're out of time. Okay. No, go ahead, Michael. You want to kick it off?
Very excited to be there on opening night, of course. And I cover most of their opening nights. And... yeah, Ghost the Musical. We loved the movie with Patrick Swayze.
Yes.
And Demi Moore and the lovely...
Whoopi Goldberg?
Yes, Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And however, the musical, at least for me, and I think for you, I'm not sure, but perhaps definitely for me, did not translate well onto the stage.
No, I don't think so either. I think that it was visually dazzling. I think there was a lot of the special effects, and trying to take those elements from the film and put them on stage is a Herculean task to begin with.
Clearly that was evident. That's where the money was spent in this production, for sure.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, you go to the theater to be entertained by the wholeness of everything and how everything works together, as opposed to something in particular, especially when it's the special effects of a show like this or the sets virtually, which there really were none of, because it's being done in that very modern, you know, efficient, technical kind of way that is available now in theater, which is tremendous.
Yeah.
You know, it's and also reduces cost of theater, which is important. But when that overpowers what you're seeing, what you came to see, and especially something famous like that, it is disappointing, to say the least. And I must say also the music was fairly... not memorable.
Yeah, no. It not only wasn't memorable, but it also didn't further the action at all. And it's a great tale. It's one of the most popular films of all time because the film and the story. And I want to say it's not the film. It's not supposed to be the film, but the tale that they're telling, which is identical in the play, is it's a love story. It's got the elements of the supernatural. It's a wonderful tale. Mm-hmm. And these songs that, in addition to not being memorable, the fact that they just didn't move the story forward. It was almost like whenever there was a song, it's like, let's stop and sing about this rather than having that propel the journey. And when you're starting from zero energy-wise after every song, it's just going to make for a very sort of choppy evening.
I also thought the casting on it was very inferior because there was absolutely no chemistry, in my opinion, between the two leads.
I agree with you there. I think that Molly Jensen was doing... I think that both of them were also doing about as... well as they could with this, especially with the material. I do would want to call out Carla R. Stewart, who played Oda Mae Brown.
Yes.
Because she had her work cut out for her, and it was not a Whoopi Goldberg impersonation or a parody. She made the character her own, which is especially difficult. I'm telling you, man, just shooting it all day. Especially difficult with the fact that the... you know, it's such a broad character to begin with. It's a
and that whole sequence going into the psychic's digs there was so out of left field with everything that we had just seen that you and it started so unusually that you thought, what? Yeah. What? What's going on here? You know, she hadn't made her appearance yet. It was her cohorts there. Yeah. But I do want to backtrack on one thing that I said about the chemistry between the two stars, not to take away from their vocal abilities and or their acting abilities as individuals. It just was not their chemistry.
No, they were very skilled, and they and the other thing too is that there was a big disparity in portrayals through no fault of theirs because of how their certain characters were drawn and other characters that were written a little more two-dimensionally.
And the book, I think, needs some help. And, listen, the thing's already had its run on Broadway. It was successful there to some, significant degree.
You know that I was supposed to do it, right?
I was
supposed
not.
To do this particular
the national
production.
Tour?
Yes, I was supposed to do it.
Happened?
I had a conflict.
What was that?
I can't sing or dance. So, anyway, stop
You're
it.
You're supposed to be Oda Mae.
Right. Yes, I was. I'm just that much of a chameleon.
Did you say old maid or
Oda Mae?
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, either or. Yeah.
Thank you.
But all in all, for fans of the movie and fans of contemporary music, I mean, the composers certainly have a track record of hit records. I think you should check it out and make your own opinion about it.
Along
right?
those lines, I was just going to say that. I brought my niece to see it.
Yes.
She was absolutely loved it. And there was a good number of people that were standing on their feet for the end of it. A partial standing ovation.
The
ushers?
What? Standing
the
ovations.
Ushers?
Nah, nice.
No,
tickets for Ghost playing through July 13th, next weekend. HollywoodPantages.com, Ticketmaster.com, or on the phone, 800-982-2787. That's 800-982-2787. And as I always say, go across the street, go to the W Hotel, get a co-signer, and get a cocktail.
Exactly.
Yes.
You are so right about that.
Do what I do. Go over to the Frolic Room, man, right next door. Gotta love a bartender with fresh stitches in his head. He's gotta really love that.
One always wonders, though, will you make it out of the
Frolic
Room?
Yeah, exactly.
Back into the theater. Boy, oh boy. So, shall we?
Let's continue,
all right.
Shall
and by the way, you know, we are very supportive of theater, Paul and I rarely have an experience like this that when we go see something together. We usually are seeing things separately so that we cover
it's
more territory.
It's the first time we sat together.
Yes, exactly. There you go.
So it was, was it as magical for you as it was for me? Or?
Actually, a little more.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. But if you could stop calling, I'd appreciate it. Just honor.
Oh, I'm going to pay for this.
Honor the restraining order, if you would. Thank you.
Well, as Paul mentioned earlier, this week marks our inaugural presentation of State of the Biz, our discussion with industry pros sharing their experiences to assist both showbiz veterans and those just starting out.
We don't have music for this yet. So
our next guest defines the term industry pro, having cast 9 television series, over 45 films, over 1,200 commercials, and live theater productions, too numerous to list. We are delighted to have one of LA's preeminent casting directors with us to kick off the first of many State of the Biz segments. Please welcome a proud member of the Casting Society of America, Michael Donovan.
Michael. Hello, sir.
Thank you.
How are you?
Guys.
How are you?
I'm good. Delighted to be here.
Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
So, casting.
Yes.
Casting. So, here we talked about a show that I felt wasn't cast very well, and we've talked about this illustrious career of Mr. Adam Huss and him being cast just right for what he's doing.
Who was terrific in Justin Long.
Yes, he was.
Thank you.
He was. He played the ultimate movie star in that show, which he was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And Michael, let's start there, actually. That's an interesting starting point. When you went through the process of auditioning for that mm-hmm. show, were you looking for this man, or were you looking for something entirely different, or did it keep changing day to day by the input of your...
Well, his role was particularly difficult to cast because he needed somebody who can be really good looking, be really sexy, and can really sing. Mm-hmm. And there were very few people to choose from. So you kind of came through a whole circuitous route is how you ended up with the role. And
yeah.
So, that's one of the toughest things to cast is finding a guy who's can do all of those things. It's sort of a weird triple threat. Good looking, can act, and can really sing.
So, mm-hmm. Do you find yourself, I mean, it's sort of an echo of the question I asked earlier, but do you find that there's a style, like obviously you do all types of casting.
Right.
Is there one that you like more than others?
Well, you
live
touched
theater?
On it before. You said the immediacy of theater.
Right.
There is something nice from my perspective, too, when I do a project and I get to see it fairly quickly, you know, right. in about maybe 8 weeks. Whereas I can cast a movie and not see it for a year
right.
and a half,
Before, yeah.
before it's finally finished. So there is something very nice about the theater. It's also my background. You know, that's my... I was an actor and for many, many years, and I love the theater. There's something really very special about it. I like doing other things, too, though. I think, as you said, kind of mixing it up is kind of fun to do.
Keeping it fresh, too.
Absolutely, and I get to cross actors over. I'll meet an actor who I cast in a play, but there's no reason why I can't bring him in for a film or for a television series. So I like doing that a lot, actually. It's fun for me.
And when you do that, Michael, do you – because I'm always curious because we there's a lot of listeners that we have that might not have representation.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you pull from when you pull people in? Just your personal experience? Do you go to
right.
showcases? Is it just through the breakdowns or submitting online?
To everything you just said.
Really?
Virtually all of my breakdowns are out on Breakdown as well as Actors Access. So if an actor is not represented, they can still get they can still submit themselves to me. If it's an equity play, then it's also – there's an open call and it's also on the equity website. So it's almost impossible to not get to be able to get to me.
Right.
When I put together a session for no matter what I'm casting, I always do from three areas. The first area is what I call the tried and true, the guys that I know are bookers, the ones that are going to look good in my session. The middle area would be people I've met. I saw them in a showcase. I saw them in a class. I stand up. I saw them in a film. Something. Some people that I believe in their work, if you will.
Okay.
And then the third area is people I've never met. Every session I do, I'm committed to this. There are people I've never met.
Wow.
It's very important to keep expanding my knowledge of the talent pool and mm-hmm. to give people a shot who I don't know.
Well, and it's working for you, yeah. I mean, obviously. I'm always curious. A couple of protocol questions too. This is something, Adam, you can weigh in on this too, because I'm sure you've had this experience. Dressing for the role,
mm-hmm.
It's always sort of a gray area. How much do I commit to this? How much do I commit to the style of the character? I mean, I know people have gone everything from just sort of hinting at it to actually wearing full body armor. What is the your take on that?
First of all, it depends on what you're auditioning for,
right.
But kind of the basic rule is costumes. They're always a no. Always a no.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're dressing so differently than what the character is, then you're asking the clients to make this huge leap from seeing you in shorts and flip-flops to having you play a lawyer. That's just an impossible leap. It's a very visual medium that we're dealing with. And you have to help them at least understand what you can possibly look like, so at least something similar. So,
right.
you know, if you're reading for a lawyer, maybe put a sports jacket on it, a pair of slacks. What's the big deal? You know, but I don't need you to come in, you know, totally tricked out as whatever the character might be. Then it starts to look desperate.
Right.
There are in commercials, there's a few times when there's sort of okay, like Scrubs are sometimes acceptable for certain commercials, a lab coat for certain things. But once in a while, a truck stop waitress thing. But after that, it gets to be a little cheesy.
You know, may I interject something? This is a little tiny story from the past. A young lady who, a terrific little actress, this is many, many years ago, a friend of mine, and her problem. She was so adorable and so cute, but she had no film or television experience.
Mm-hmm.
It was only theater, and she couldn't get through the door to get seen for TV or film.
Mm-hmm.
So she finally had an opportunity, and she had to fight like tooth and nail. And what she did, when she walked into the room, she had celluloid film all over her, and she said, "I'm glad you saw me because I have film on me."
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Scary.
She got the job.
Well, see, that's
she
the
got
thing.
It.
There's always those
it's
exceptions,
memorable.
Right?
Yeah,
there's always
memorable.
Those exceptions where you know, people do something outrageous. That story about Danny DeVito when he got a taxi. He came in character. I mean, but if you're Danny DeVito, I think you can get away with that stuff. I think there's always going to be the exception to the rule. I just think it's a huge risk.
It is. It was a big risk even then.
Yeah. So.
Well, what do you never want to see at an audition again? What are the things that just keep popping up that you see actors do and you just want to leap up and just
and
tell them please, don't ever do that again?
There's so many things. I mean, the simplest thing is to say lack of preparedness. It's just shocking when an actor is given a shot knowing that there are thousands of people who want to do this and you get a shot and then you don't do anything to be prepared for it. Not only did you waste our time, you wasted your time, you know. Right. And I'm also sitting there thinking about all of my friends who I didn't bring in because I thought you were really more right for the role. Right. So how much I want to kill you is what I want to say. That's essentially what it comes down to, you know.
Because it's not an anger, it's from empathy too. You're just like, why didn't you take this opportunity?
Especially as a former actor, I know how tough it is to get an audition. So you got a shot and you didn't take it. And then stupid things like showing up late, showing up without a picture and resume, you know, saying, "Oh, I didn't get a chance to look at the script when the script was provided." What? It goes on and on and on.
Is there any? Does the agent in your experience live up to the full expectations of how the agent should be acting on behalf of the actor? I've heard stories where the agent has supplied the actor with the incorrect copy to go into the audition with, and they're going in thinking they're reading for one role when they're really being called in by the casting people.
Okay, well, I'm very okay with your telling me that you were given the wrong information. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Then I will absolutely give you time to go out and work on it, or I will reschedule your appointment. That is not your fault. That's okay. And things happen. How many people are we talking to to get you in for this audition? So there are mistakes that are made. That's okay. For the most part, I think, you know, agents do a great job. They get a bad rap. I mean, it's they're good people. Most of them are really serious about trying to help the actor get started. There's always a few, you know, bad apples, but most of them in the theater world, they're great. These people love theater. They go to the shows that their actors are in. They're extremely supportive of that. So
they are. You're right about that. Yeah. They are. What about children? Casting children?
I used to cast a ton of children. I've cast, I don't know, like 7 or 8 kids series. One that I did, we saw 2,400 kids.
Wow.
For these roles.
That means 2,400 moms.
Oh. Yeah. You know, in all seriousness, that's the first question you get asked. How are the parents?
You know, we have that on – I have that on my little list here.
I'm very serious.
I said, is the stage mom a myth or have you actually experienced that?
You want the kid who dragged mom and dad to the audition. That's the kid you want, saying, I really want to do this, as opposed to the mom and dad – who are like, this is their dream to have their little precious baby be a star, and the kid doesn't want it at all. Because as soon as the audition starts, the kid's by himself with you, and the first question I ask the kid is, do you want to do this? You know, and I can tell immediately whether the kid wants to be there or not. But I like casting kids. Kids are great. Well, yeah, they're fun. It's a whole different world.
Well, I'll tell you, I believe that too, and I think they're – kids are different than adults because they're so not carrying so much baggage. You know what I'm saying? They're so free. They're so available.
But so blunt, too.
And they are.
Yes, the cruel honesty of children.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
But, you know, these new series that are just coming out left and right from Disney, and I've talked about this a couple times on the show, are to me, first of all, they're being written by, you know, the big network boys that have left big shows and come over to Disney, and they're writing very sophisticated material for what are really, you know, tween programming, but it comes off in a much different way than it ever used to in the past.
Kids are very aware.
They are.
Yeah. It's a different world.
Of course. Yes. Yeah. But these kids that Disney casts, you know, they are stars, all of them.
Yeah.
You know, and certainly some of them break out of that level and go on to becoming a superstar outside of that world. But smart TV, it's actually kind of enjoyable to watch some of those things. And Lifetime is kind of doing the same.
Oh, yeah.
Their own you know, area of expertise, and the ABC Family Channel.
The bar has been raised,
everywhere.
Silly.
It's kind of an exciting time, must be, for you as a casting director, right?
It is, absolutely.
What are you working on right now, Michael?
Oh, my God, a bunch of things. Let's see. I made a list because I thought I would forget. We have Hair opening at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yay,
with a nice cast, Kristen Bell, Hunter Parrish, Sarah Hyland. Speaking of Modern Family, Benjamin Walker. We've got Kiss Me, Kate at Pasadena Playhouse, which goes into casting next week.
Such a
week.
Great show.
Sorry, I'll go closer. Which is almost all black cast. So,
oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's a very different take on the material. A new show called Scary Musical, the Musical, which I'm very excited about. This. I did a couple of workshops of it.
It's Richard Hochberg.
Richard Hochberg and Michael Paternostro and... being produced by Kevin Bailey and Victoria Morris and a bunch of new, very exciting kids.
Is it going to have a run at the NoHo Arts?
Yes, we open on – finished casting this morning.
Oh, wow.
And we open September 19th. What else? A play called The Way You Look Tonight. It's a new comedy.
Yes.
Peter Leftwart, Terry Hannah directing. Yep. And we're doing Trying, the two-person play that was done at the Colony a couple years ago with the older guy and the younger woman. It doesn't matter.
That's a lot of plates to have spinning. How many people do you have in your office? I mean,
one.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And then I've got a series and I've got two movies coming up. And
He's a workaholic. You know that.
Mom?
Yeah. It's like you. Well, me. Yes, it's going all the time.
You know that he was going to rent office space right across the way here.
Were you?
Yeah.
Right there.
Really? We could have been at the building.
We could have waved at each other. No, but you know, I love being busy. When I only have like 7 or 8 things going on, I'm going, slow.
Are you the same way, Adam? Do you like a lot of plate spinning?
Yes. Yeah. It's sometimes to my relationship's detriment, I should say.
Same thing. I got the look recently. I'm like,
the look. When was the last time you had a vacation? I distinctly remember you went to Hawaii at one point in time, which prevented
ago.
You from...
Boy, seriously?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Me so. Me well, you have never had... I mean, as long as I've known you, you've never taken a vacation. I've known you, what, 13 years?
Yeah, now? Not more than 2 days.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is, if you love what you do, this is what I explain to people is, you know, they can't wait to get home and just do nothing. It's like, no, I love this. Yeah. I can't wait to get to do what I do. So it's a whole different feeling. You know, I'm, if I'm out till midnight, fine. I'm having a ball. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. So
awesome. I want to ask you one last question, and then we need to baptize these boys.
Okay.
What does that mean?
We'll find out.
I'm nervous.
The current trend with men... beards, these heavy beards, and also long hair seems to be making a comeback.
A little bit.
How do you feel about those things?
I think if you're willing to shave, it's going to be fine. I think present us with a picture that shows you clean shaven, and then if it's a role that you know you need to be clean shaven for when you come in, volunteer that.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. I'm willing to cut my hair, shave my beard, whatever. Yeah. And I think for guys especially, I mean, it grows back. It's just not a big deal.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
For ladies to cut their hair if it's long, it's a very different thing.
For ladies and beards,
ladies and beards thing is really important. But you know, I think the willingness to change your look is something that we really need.
And the long hair?
I don't know. I mean, again, are you willing to cut it? Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah. But it's, you know, since you're giving advice, if you're going to do that, make sure that you get paid for that as an actor. If they're going to cut your hair or change your look or color your hair or whatever.
It's weird. You know, for men, you know, there are very seldom fashion choices, you know, that come about, you know, in cosmetically speaking, like we're speaking about this, or, you know, clothes is another thing. But, you know, the beard thing really kind of just took off. I mean, a few days growth, like the heavy beard.
Yeah. And it's also a distinctly different look. The people who did my recent headshots, Theo and Juliet, I love the way they worked backwards. They like show up with about a week of stubble, and then we'll shave, and then you know, and you get so many more
looks.
That's
exactly what you should do. You know? And what's for young guys too, like a little stubble. You've got a little stubble right now. That's very hip and cool.
Oh yeah, that works.
And that's fine. But the beard thing, I don't know.
The beard thing is a little more limiting.
Well, it makes you older. Period. Facial hair makes you older. period.
No matter how you slice it. Yeah.
So, all right. Listen, yes, we do.
We only have a couple of minutes. It's that time to ask our two guests about some disaster, some embarrassing thing, something funny, something that happened during performance. Adam, could we start with you?
Sure.
All right.
It could be an audition, performance, anything.
Well,
I'll say this audition because it kind of ties in with what we were talking about before, about costumes. And I'm never one who goes overboard with costumes in audition, but for some reason I was called in for Bones, and the show Bones, and I was supposed to be two different people.
Like, you didn't wear that skeleton suit again, did you?
I did.
That was so awkward.
I did, that Halloween costume. No, and I was supposed to be two different hunters. They were reading me for this one hunter and this other hunter, and I don't know why I did this, but I changed hats after reading the one hunter and put on a different hunter. And they laughed, and when I heard the laugh, it set off this like
heart palpitation,
coffee fit, and I literally could not get the words out. I mean, I was sweating. I was just like, blah, 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 blah. Hold on, let me just show this again. Let me just play that. It was disaster.
The one with the dark hat has tuberculosis.
Exactly. I'm like, don't cast the guy in that. Cast the other guy in that. I mean, I left there very embarrassed, and I turned to them and I said, I'm sorry.
Did you get a call?
I did. No, I didn't.
Of course not. Okay, there you go.
No.
He did, Michael. But it was for Robitussin.
Oh, yeah. Michael, what do you got?
Early in my career, we're casting a commercial. The part is of the clumsy painter. So we set up the room with drop cloths and step ladders and the whole thing. And you have to understand there's cameras and lights in the studio. And so I go and I find two old, dried out buckets of paint that I've been assured are dried out and sealed and no problem. Okay. And this one actor comes in, he's very funny. He's a physical comedian. And of course, he gets wild with what he's doing. And the paint cans open, and there is wet paint the cans, and paint goes everywhere.
My gosh.
I mean, like all over the studio, the camera, the lights. It was like the rug, and it was like, and like the poor actor just like is like, oh my God.
Oh,
you
my know, gosh.
It was so totally not his fault.
Not your
but
fault.
It was very funny. We had to shut the session down. We had to
Did he get the part? That's what I wanted
and
to know.
The thing about as he didn't get the part.
But it wasn't that. It was this coughing fit that the paint
wore the wrong hat. That's what happened.
He wore the wrong hat.
Gentlemen, such a pleasure having both
indeed.
Of you here.
Michael, thank you. Adam, thank you.
Absolutely.
And
thank
much
you.
Luck on the series.
Thank you.
We hope it runs for years.
That series being Power on Stars.
Yes,
and check that out, starswithaz.com.
Saturdays at 9.
Saturdays
There's
at
a catch-up
9.
Marathon this Saturday.
Well, really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Saturday
well, that should not be nice. People are home.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Right.
All right.
Yeah,
right.
Maybe.
And Michael, thank you for kicking off this new feature, State
Absolutely.
Of the Biz,
yes, sir.
For us. Appreciate having you on.
Absolutely.
And Michael.
Paul, thank you. See you on the radio.
See you next week.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.